Oh my god. Whoa. Is that a ghost?
Whoa!
Where? Oh my god!
Oh my
god!
Okay. What happened to Bones?
Ghost?
It's a Bones ghost!
Oh my god.
He went to a wedding and came back as a ghost. What does that say for everything else?
He died!
Oh my god! Rip the dream!
Oh my god.
Died but still made it in for the podcast. Yes.
Welcome to the Planet Destiny podcast, everyone.
Hello.
A very spooky edition of the Planet Destiny podcast.
I don't know how long I can do this. I'm going to...
Yeah, let's see your face. Is this sweaty in there?
Come on.
Is this so sweaty?
You're too handsome.
Real sweaty.
Come on now.
Like we were saying, I was just waiting for panic to set in.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was the enclosed space or starting to get hard to breathe. It was going to be a real interesting podcast about 20 minutes in.
Oh, look, there are the paramedics arriving to take his cold, lifeless body away.
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only boob who thought it would be funny to dress up for the stream. I'm glad you guys
You are a boob, though.
Decided
That's
I am
for sure.
Totally a massive boob.
Left or right?
I'm really
That's important.
Interested,
I don't know.
Paul, how have you got the banana to erect past your head?
It's a secret.
Oh, we can't.
You have a party hat on
secret.
Under that costume?
It's not a goddamn written. Secret. It's I have a water bottle on my head. You know.
For the benefit of those who are listening, he's in an iron banana costume. And it's great.
It's damn balancing right. It then.
You got to make sure the last thing you want is for your banana to go limp. Am I right? Anyway, guys, how was your weekend?
Pretty good.
Destiny-wise.
This weekend was spooky. It was
spooky.
A bunch of fun. It was full of surprises, and it took place on such a good map, because I spent most of my weekend in Trials. Otherwise,
gotcha.
Very fun. How have you guys been? What's been going on this week?
I had a really good time. I love the Festival of the Lost. I know that saying that right now in the community might get me stabbed, but
yeah, maybe
there's some shortcomings about the Festival of the Lost that we'll get into. But for now, for the nice stuff, I had a damn good time riding around on my Harry Potter broom. Thought that was awesome. Although I really wanted to give it back to the sweeping robot. I was like depressed. I was hanging out by the Eververse. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, there's like a clinically depressed robot with no broom standing next to me. Why, Bungie? Why?
Like, well, she is seriously sad, isn't she?
Isn't
like,
her?
If you just
sit
there and listen to her talk, she's
put
like...
Put yourself in her position. If you're a cleaning robot and you've lost the only thing that you love, your broom, are you going to be happy about it? You know? Someone needs to take her out, basically. Show her a good time, buy her some lunch, maybe take her dancing. You know,
she
oil
should hang
the,
out with the gunsmith.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Oil the joints.
Banshee sits there and talks to himself all day anyway. Why not give him someone to talk to?
Yeah.
Who knows? He might even craft her a new broom that shoots rockets.
Hey, now.
You might have to wait a couple Arms Day weeks, but you know.
Maybe.
Maybe.
What about you, Link? Did you have a good Festival of the Lost? Do anything fun?
I have had a pretty good week. I've always been a big fan of the way Bungie holds these events. I love the decorations and whatnot that they put up. And despite some complaints about this year's festival, I thought it's been pretty good. You know, we finally got our hands on the Super Black Shader. That's been a thing that's hidden in the game forever. And it looks so good, especially with the raid set. But the broom was just such a pleasant surprise. I don't know if you guys were all over the subreddit a couple of days before Festival went live, but some people were actually saying, I wish we could have a witch broom sparrow. And then boom, Festival goes live. There it is in the Guardian Lounge, and it is amazing.
Spooky.
I felt really authentic as my hunter with Super Black on, with my kitty cat cloak, flying around on a broom.
Dude.
That made
I
me
was,
feel
uh,
pretty good, you know.
My
I
guardian.
Was rolling around with the Oryx head. Felt good.
My guardian is like an angsty middle schooler. Like, I just love the black shaders, you know? Mm-hmm. Only dressed in black. So when I found out there was that new shader, I was like, oh, hell yeah, dude. We're rocking that all weekend.
Listening to Morrissey and...
yeah. putting on my Avenged Sevenfold, jamming out, riding around on the broom.
So guys, I have not been on Reddit that much this week, or checking out the internet. What are the big criticisms this week? I don't want to just, you know, repeat them and then and bring the negative energy in here, but I am curious. What is the main criticism of the Festival of the Lost as it is now?
You know, for me, I'm just going to speak to me personally. I can't really talk for the rest of the community, but I did share in a good deal of disappointment. And if you look at the Festival of the Lost trailer, it got me so hyped up. It showed me all this really cool stuff that I was really looking forward to getting a good shot at unlocking. And then what happens is you go to the Festival of the Lost, we're all like super hyped, and you go through the quest line, which was kind of enjoyable. I liked it. And then the reward you get at the very end is one treasure box. And then you open up the treasure box, and that has a chance to give you whatever it is that you're looking forward to getting from the Festival of the Lost, Eververse. But if you don't get it, you only have two other choices, which is you can either go on your other character and redo the quest line, or you can spend real, actual money buying treasure boxes in a hope that you will get what it was that you were looking for. Now, it's cool that Bungie gave us so many really awesome emotes and masks and, you know, whatever, that we could get our hands on for the Festival of the Lost, but the chances of you getting what you were actually looking for without spending any real money is, like, really very low.
Yeah.
Which I have to say was pretty disappointing.
The, speaking from my personal experience, the odds were pretty low even if you invested $20 in the Festival of the Lost.
Yeah. The duplicate. I think that's something that they really do need to look at the Eververse in a whole. I mean, we understand it's a casino tactic. Like, they're not going to eliminate duplicates from buying these things with, like, the inverted, you know, commas, RNG or what have you. But I think if some people were spending an alarming amount of money, I mean, mostly, like, streamers that let's argue whether they can afford to spend that or not. However, you know, that you're looking at an alarming amount of money going in and the amount of duplicates coming out, you can tell that there is literally no failsafe to keep getting repeats. And the more to the point, the drop rate of the stuff that people are most desirable, the Firewolf mask, the Sparrow, the Ghosty Ghost, for example, or the ornaments for Bad Juju, those were, like, insanely low. I mean, like, really, really, like, too low. So, of course, that's going to generate bad rap when people are pumping some cash into Tess's pockets and she keeps giving the same old, same old. But, like, I think for me, the answer to that is, okay, let's have a pack of stuff that people can buy. They spend, like, such and such and they get half the stuff or whatever. I can imagine the amount of crap that Bungie are going to get for selling everything at a fixed price. Yeah. But I would rather that than, like, this RNG element to it, because you can spend an infinite amount of money and still get nothing of what you're desiring after.
So here's what I think. If I could sit down with Bungie and I could talk to him, I understand that, you know, Bungie is a business, you know what I mean? They're here to make money and to provide us with an entertaining game. They're here to do both. And it's definitely in their best interest as a company to get money, but at the same time, you don't want to cross over into, I don't know, I'm just gonna, like, EA territory or something where, like, you're pissing off your fan base with, you know, paid for content or whatever. And I think if there was some way where we could just grind, you know, some kind of quest line where you could just grind, and then every time you would grind, you'd get a shot at getting some kind of Festival of the Lost goodies that you could put on. That would be awesome, because the people would grind for it, you know what I mean? You have to keep in mind that a lot of the people who play this game are, like, I mean, they're young, you know what I mean? You get some old dudes, like the four of us sitting here. But there's lots of, I mean, there's people who don't have jobs and stuff like that, but they want to have a good spooky time, damn it, and they don't want to be shelling out all kinds of money for a chance at maybe getting whatever it is that they want. But And I told that to somebody, and they were like, well, you know, if you have a shot at, if you have a quest where you can grind out and then maybe have a chance at getting gear, people won't pay for it. And I'm like, oh, yes, they will. Absolutely. Because there are some people who have the income. They don't mind. They want to support Bungie. They don't really want to grind it out. They'll drop money. Bungie will still be profitable, and everybody wins, you know?
Yeah. I have two thoughts on the cost side of Festival of the Lost, which overall I believe has been an awesome, good thing. Net gain. One, when I think about how much money I'm willing to spend on Destiny, and this varies with everyone. Not everyone is in my position. Not everyone finds the same value in Destiny, even if they could drop more cash than me. This is so different person to person. But I sort of look at these things and these events as like sort of like a Dark Below tier expansion, which was $20. Happily paid $20 for Dark Below and House of Wolves. And so I'm fine with that. What I don't like is the RNG element, which was sort of, you know, it's just the trend in gaming. We used to have DLCs where you spend $5 on your Batman Arkham City and you get 5 skins to play as the other older Batman thing, stuff like that. Great. You spend money, get what you wanted, whatever. But they added the fact about, like, well, what if it took them 5 tries to get that? And that's just, that I don't like. So what if I spent $20 just like I did this week, but instead of going away sad that I didn't get a few things, like either of the ornaments to my favorite exotic, what if I just ended up with the things I wanted? And you can keep my $20 and I'll just be happy instead of all just.
But then they're
going to
get loads of feedback that, oh my God, all this cosmetic shit costs $20. I'm really angry.
Right.
Here's my
pitchfork. I love this community, but there is goddamn nothing that Bungie could ever do
to not get complaints.
Stirring the shit.
I would rather have. I mean, that seems to be the biggest amount of feedback from everybody is that I want to pay and then get the stuff and they have no RNG in it. I mean, I spent $20, €20, and I thought, I'm not spending any more than that? No. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. You've already had too much money from me with previous packages and stuff, and I ended up getting the Sparrow, one of the Bad Juju ornaments, and the Ghost of the Ghost within that $20. But I understand that is really rare, and obviously there must have been a hole in the ozone layer right above me that was cooking everything and changing my RNG. And it does need to change that whole casino thing, you know.
Yeah,
it's just
like content creators like Holtzman and other you know, streamers out there in the community who are literally dropping like X amount of money because they want to do testing of how good the drop rates are. And thanks to everyone of those community members who did that, there were like a dozen of them, but they were spending like hundreds of dollars. And they weren't getting
shit.
Good. Yeah, they
weren't getting nothing. Duped over and over again.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to talk about Festival of the Lost, it's sort of steer away from the money part, because this is just, it gets people riled up, and I get it, but it doesn't give us, we don't do a whole lot of good spending 20 minutes on it. The one thing that I'd love to see is the stuff like masks be just a tad more useful as something I want to pull out any other time of the year.
Yeah,
I actually don't like doing the quest lines for the Festival of the Lost. I did a couple layers of the first one, and then I realized I don't want to go into the Plague Lands and grind patrol missions at a low light, or go into Crucible and not have my helmet perks.
Yes,
like that's just not as fun. The gameplay is it takes away from the gameplay. Mm. So what if helmets did something like, well, they don't ruin my light level. I don't get my revive super bonus in trials from my helmet, or I don't get increased grenade energy, or I don't get my intellect or discipline. Maybe I go down to tier 10.
That's a good point.
So I have slower intellect and slower discipline, but I'm not going to get one shot in trials because I put on the skull helmet.
They should make the masks give you stats and stuff, because wouldn't it be awesome if you went into trials and just for the festival, you know what I mean? And then you see everyone in trials with spooky, awesome masks. Yeah. That would be great.
Well, I don't want them to be helmets that we use forever. Otherwise, why would I ever use this?
Well, I mean, again, not forever. Use them for the duration of the festival, and then after that, they power down or whatever.
They go, yeah,
you
right
know what
back
I mean?
To the paste awesome. Form or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good suggestion.
I think they should, in terms of mask effects, I think it'd be awesome if they mixed in some of the stuff like the Flight of Shadows into a mask. Like, so when you spawn into anywhere, whether it's a patrol or PvP, you have a certain effect based on the mask that you're wearing.
Yeah, that would be
cool. I would love to have, like, Taken swirling wing energy circle around me if I spawn into something wearing the Oryx mask.
Yeah, man.
I would like to see, definitely like to see some more effects for just more reasons to wear the mask other than to look silly while you're headshotting somebody with No Land Beyond. Bones, I saw those clips. That was monstrous.
We'll talk about that.
Oh, man.
But before we get too far away from the microtransaction thing, I did want to just say that the heart of this really comes down to two things that you guys all made mention of. It comes down to microtransactions themselves and RNG with those microtransactions. The one thing people hate more than paying for stuff in games after they've already bought a game is paying for something and not getting what they wanted for it. And I see Bones has retreated to the ghost. To the ghost zone. It's okay, buddy. We'll be done in just a sec. And I just wanted to bring up something in chat. Dr. Funnybone said, I bought $40 worth of silver, and I got both the ghost and the sparrow. Sorry for those who haven't gotten it. And that's kind of the heart of the issue here. You can get it, or you might not get it.
Yeah.
Some people spent 20, 40, 60 bucks, got everything. Some people spent 20, 40, 60 bucks and got nothing. And the one thing people really don't want when it comes to spending money on a game like this is to not get anything for it.
Yeah,
and
There are elements like, for example, they put an element in with the faction shaders. You won't ever get a repeat or a duplicate of a faction shader anymore.
Yeah.
The same thing that's just needs applying to the Festival of the Lost and Eververse, I think, in general. Mm-hmm. So the more you spend, obviously, if you're not getting everything that you want, because how can the game know what you want? I mean, everyone wants a fiery wolf mask. We know that's going to be a desirable item. I'm pretty sure the executive team are like, oh my god, a green sparrow. Everyone's going to want that. Put the drop rate real low on that one, okay? You know, there's going to be a guy, there's going to be people like predicting all of that stuff. So just have like the failsafe in there, a dupe prevention thing, the same that we have with the faction shaders. And I think, you know, people will keep throwing money at the screen without wanting to put their fists through it at the end of it.
Long story short, too late. Bungie, we love you. Thank you for putting on the Festival of the Lost. Thank you for giving us really cool options and things to do and making it all spooky. But goddamn, get your shit together. Come on.
You
shit.
We
love
you. Thank
you
for Super Black.
Get it together.
Thank you very much for Super Black. Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
That was my favorite thing about the whole thing, a Super Black shader, and it took me 2 minutes to get it, and it didn't cost me any cash money. Yeah.
That's cool. You know, it's something that was in the game forever. We've all been trying to figure out how to get it, and they just kind of quietly pushed in this little mini quest. There's no HUD, there's no notification for it in the tower. If you're just paying attention and you've got those Ascendant Raisins, you can just go trading stuff in and get this hidden shader. Super cool. More stuff like that, Bungie.
More.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Before we get any further into this podcast, we have gotten dangerously far in without mentioning that Mega is not here tonight.
Rip.
For those of you listening at home,
even greater if he just spoke up. And
what? Oh my god! You're right. He's not here. Oh,
He's off doing, what is he doing? Honeymoon? Something like that?
He's in Disneyland.
Honeymooning in the happiest
the
place.
The man
on
is
Earth.
In Disneyland.
Yeah.
He's
having
weird.
A fun time doing the honeymoon. I mean, come on. That's what is this amateur hour? I mean, if it were me. On my honeymoon, I'd be like, girl, I don't know what you was expecting, but I'm here to podcast right now. it's podcast.
I'll see that when it happens.
But he'll be back. Just wanted to clear that up before we move on to talking about spooky trials.
Hang on. There's something in the chat that does need mentioning. Celery.
Oh,
what do we think the celery's for?
Hold on to it.
Yeah, don't dismantle that stuff.
You can't call me crazy. Everybody was calling me crazy last year when I was like, I'm keeping my raisins. It's going to be useful someday.
Yeah. You know, I heard a crazy theory, which I think a couple of people have had, is that Eris is trying to eventually get us to do the ants on a log treat.
Oh, no.
So next year, we're going to get spooky peanut butter. and then you put it all together, and the universe implodes.
Okay. Now I'm a mummy.
Alrighty, that's what you're dressing up as next year. All that stuff that you've just talked about.
So yeah, I'll make it happen.
Yeah,
iron ants on a log.
Ants on a log. Let's do it. Plenty you heard it here first, everybody.
Take that celery, stash it away.
Next year it'll be Siva celery, and then we're gonna have ants on a log before long.
Yeah. But good times. Did
Can
anyone
we talk
here
about trials now, please?
Yeah, anyone here get a chance to play the spooky trials? I know Bones and I are dying to talk about it.
Yeah. I forgot. You know me, this weekend I had like a 16-hour day shooting figure skaters, doing a promo for a company for the skating club, and it was great. I was so tired though when I got back, so I really wanted to play trials, so I watched some streams. But today I got some strapping guardians together, and we did go into the cauldron with no radar and no revives, and no one told me about can I spoil stuff. No one told me about the jump scares.
Oh, that was
no
so
one told
funny.
Me nothing about it, because I read
flip
that
out?
There was a big criticism that, yes, the new radar's good, but the sounds, the footstep sounds are not particularly very good. So I cranked my Astros up. So I'm like running around and stuff.
Oh, no.
And I just took this hunter out with a shotgun, surprise, surprise, and a spider did drop down, and there was a scream in my ear.
I was watching Lumi stream right when Trials went live. He was just running around. And he's hard scoping with his palindrome or whatever. And all of a sudden he's like, oh God, what the hell was that? The chat was cracking up.
Oh, but it was
so
the
funny.
Sounds, though, the visual stuff. Yeah. I mean, the spider was like,
was that
really a spider?
Screech.
Was there some crap in my eye? It wasn't very well defined, you know, but like, I just killed somebody. I'd taken a guardian out, and then there was like this in my ear. And I was like, whoa, what's that? What's that about?
Spooked.
No.
Now you see, I spent all Saturday, much like Story here, a 16-hour day, except not working, walking around a theme park. I took some family and some friends up to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. I actually didn't see anything about these trials thing. I knew there was something spooky supposedly happening in trials. So I came back, and I got back that evening, and I started watching some streamers play. And just boom, out of nowhere, jump scares everywhere. And I mean, sometimes really when you're watching some of these higher level players, you kind of get into the screen. You get nice and close. And that was me. So the first time I got jump scared, I may have let out a noise that's of a higher tone than what you might be used to from TBL.
You compare the Black Link voice on YouTube. Hey, everybody, it's the Black Link. What's going on? I have a smooth, velvety voice. Yeah. And then in trials, it's like, you're freaking out from
things
the spider.
Might have gotten a little bit higher than usual, I'll say. I was not
it went
expecting
from the
that.
Normal round bassy dulcet tone to a it went up like half a semitone.
Yeah, it was just a little bit. It sounded octave. Like a beat. It was just slightly
half an
octave.
Only a
there
moment.
We go.
Only a moment.
He's excited.
But
so
yeah, cool stuff.
So Bones, we got in there. We played a lot of trials this weekend. Why don't we talk about first? Let's talk about how the game plays and like what the game changes are. And then let's talk about how some people in the community, I guess, felt about these changes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's two major changes to the gameplay besides spiders, which is I'm convinced is the real reason people were upset on Twitter, is that they just hate spiders and didn't want to admit it. But the other changes were no radar. Mm. And no reviving.
Yeah.
So it's not quite Inferno, because you did start with special ammo, which is pretty key. It would have been a very different game if there was no special ammo.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure plenty of people would want to see that. But that is a marked difference from Inferno. The big thing in terms of trials is no revives, because when you're dead, you're dead.
Yeah.
And that can feel pretty bad when you're the first to get picked, and it's happened to all of us. I don't think anyone played around where they didn't realize that. So it makes you play a little safer. The no radar thing is a huge, huge topic in the PvP community. A lot of people just ignore Inferno, and it's fine. I'm not telling you should play Inferno, but But if you want to get better at this game, you should. Because No Radar has a big impact in the way you move about and the way you prepare for engagements. Now, definitely, a lot of people think that No Radar means people just camp. And I don't think that plays. I don't think that was the case in the five tickets I ran. I don't think that a team succeeded because they sat in the back. There was definitely a few rounds where a team was playing safe and scared. But it's not, you know, unless you're literally walking around through doorways with your head pointed upwards, that's not going to be your downfall.
I mean, you can have moments where you're periodically, like, maybe baiting a team to come around the corner, and then you kind of pop out and take them by surprise, try to take them all down. But as far as, like, teams group camping, like, that was really exaggerated. Bones and I ran in, did a card together, help a friend of ours go flawless, and we only fought two teams that really tried to play the No Radar game, and, like, we waxed them both.
Yeah,
it just didn't fly.
I was going to say, like,
it's a good time to talk about camping, because that term is on the probably in the top five list of words people in the Destiny community use way too liberally without really knowing what it means. And that changes, that fluctuates depending on the season. Right now we're all upset about shotgun range, even though that they haven't changed in roughly a year and a half. But
quite
camping is a multi-game, universal phrase for when someone hides in a corner. And I see people get blamed for camping when they're just baiting with a shotgun, which is smart gameplay. Standing inside B, waiting at a door, seeing it open, and then waiting for an enemy to run through it is not camping. That is playing defensively,
playing
and
passively,
adjusting to what you see. Camping would be if all three people go to the little tunnel over on outside spawn in the green area by C Flag, and they all sit in that tunnel, and all three of them wait and never move.
For like a long
that would be
time.
Camping.
Yeah. Or like scory camping. But yeah, I mean, you had occasional...
We had one team that did it, and I was concerned. I thought, is scory camping going to be relevant? And then there was one team that did it, and we were at 8 wins. We hadn't lost to Mercy, and I thought, these guys are doing it. And we absolutely slapped them. They were like good players as well. And I mean, not like amazing players, but they got absolutely annihilated. Because the aggressive push, the three-man wall of death that closes in, on that kind of map, that's not very beneficial play. So if you've got some time left, don't spawn in and then set up your campfire and your marshmallows and pull out your acoustic guitar for Kumbaya. Don't do that.
It's not
going to
work out.
You're going to get
snapped. It's not going to work out.
No.
But, okay, so when Trials got announced for this weekend, I was already in a conversation with Bones, and we told each other what was going on, and I was like, dude, yeah, man. Like, I'm kind of... I told myself, even if it plays weird and different, I was hyped because I was looking for a little variety. You know what I mean? I thought it was kind of cool. And I went to Twitter and, holy lord, the sodium. Oh my god. Red cap full on sodium.
Yep.
And I think people kind of jumped a little quickly to judge. I know some people still didn't like it. People that I respect in the community. I'm not trying to put anybody down. If you didn't enjoy it, I mean... It is what it is. The good news is, it's just for a little bit. So there's no need to flip out if you're not a fan of the spooky trials, because the Festival of the Lost isn't a year-round thing. And if you are hesitant to get into it, I say give it a try, because I really did enjoy playing. It kind of put a little twist on a game type that we all know and love.
Yeah.
Well, some of us know.
And it forces you to play differently. That's the
it
thing.
Does.
It forces you to play differently. You have to play in a different way.
And it's more interesting in a way, because Bones and I were like, just, you know, it becomes easier to pull off clutch 3v1s, which I know people in the community love to watch highlights of. You know what I mean? Because take your normal 3v1 in trials. Let's say your teammates are dead. You're like, oh, god
1v3.
Damn it. 1v3. Yeah, 1v3. And now you have to clutch it, but you have to play really careful. And not only that, if you get a kill, you pick somebody off, you can't really go too far because you now have to monitor, you have to keep an eye on that body. You have to do map control because if you leave too far, they're going to come pick him up and you're going to be screwed or you're going to be right back to where you started.
Yeah.
But in this, you could use crazy guerrilla tactics and it was really funny because you could get the drop on them, boom, get a kill, and now you're out. You're gone like a shadow. And there's nothing they can do about it because once you get that kill, they're dead.
Yeah.
They ain't coming back. I mean, unless they're a Sunsinger, but we always have to deal with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really kind of fun. You had to pay attention. You're looking all around. You're really trying to get good map control. And communication was so important.
Yeah.
I was playing with Bones, and it's so good to help your friend win a 1v3 because Bonesy's running around with No Land Beyond because he's a goddamn lunatic. And he got the two kills, and I'm like, yes. And he's trying, he's like, where's the last guy? And I'm telling him literally, like a play, like nonstop communication play-by-play. I'm like, okay, he's in middle right now. He just rolled over to red lamp. He's going back blue. He's going back blue hallway to green. He's coming through green hallway right now. And then as I said now, Bones, like a wrestler from the top rope, gave him the elbow drop from the air. Like, the communication is just so important when there's no radar. I mean, communication's important always, but it's just especially.
Like,
there's like three things to practice really, really, really hard this weekend. Get in there if you're hearing this on Monday. I'm telling you, do put aside whatever weird preconceptions you had about this game mode and just play it.
Yeah,
because you are practicing your callouts. You are practicing your 1v3s, you know, your awareness and stuff like that. How many times did you feel like a big idiot when someone shot you from the side, right? Like, it happened because you can't know where everyone else. But this game is a chessboard. It's a big chess match and stuff like that. And Story, you mentioned picking up on audio cues and stuff, which, you know, is important, but it's not crucial to Destiny. There's not loud footsteps.
The reason why is because they're terrible. The audio cues for players, like when you compare them to other games, is they're not. That's one of the things that supported the fact for me that it was a very spur of the moment thing. Not much time went into the planning, which I'm actually really in support of for Bungie, because Bungie are renowned for taking a huge amount of time just to do one thing. You know, they won't do spontaneous stuff, and this was definitely spontaneous. Cauldron is a map that has a glitch on it that causes your game to freeze. And you, like, Skyline is a map that we're not seeing at the moment because it's got a glitch in it, and they're aware of it, so it's not going into the rotation for trials because they don't want it to. However, Cauldron has got just as bad a glitch. There's areas of the map that if you stand in for too long, your game will freeze, and this happens on PlayStation and Xbox. And then the other element is no radar. It does highlight the fact that footsteps and player noises, it's pretty much limited to jumping. So most of the streamers that I was watching when I couldn't play were like, don't jump. If you're in an area where you know there's an enemy, don't jump, because that's the only audio cue that they can hear. Footsteps and general movement, if you compare them to a game like Battlefield, where audio cues are easily some of the best in any
or
FPS.
Call of Duty.
You know, and I mean, this is where it's quite important. I mean, audio cues are really, really good. And if you've got, like, for example, most of the really good Battlefield players that had sound cards had an immediate advantage over folks that didn't, because the audio cues were absolutely amazing. So, I mean, I loved the changes for this weekend. I read the feedback, but I always like to look at the feedback and think, okay, why are people not liking this? And the two things that I have to agree with the community with is that no radar shines a spotlight on bad audio cues, and also that Destiny has the most insanely narrow field of view in any FPS ever. You can have someone standing literally shoulder to shoulder with you, and your peripheral vision is useless because of how narrow the field of view is. So this is why, like, with poor audio cues and very narrow field of view, it does create a bit of a frustrating experience, especially for experienced FPS players that play a variety of games.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
The other side of that is Inferno's been around for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's why people don't play it so much.
But it's not anyone's fault to go into trials and go like, Well, I have not. How? What am I supposed to do? Because there is plenty of times where the weekly has been Inferno, and you can go in there and get your marks in practice. Because Inferno happens to be my favorite game mode, and there's a success to be found in that is not reliant on audio cues.
That's
what I was saying with the chess match, because, like, I mean, I get it that it's not as good as other games. That just means that your skills required to play it in Inferno-type modes must be different from other games. So I understand why someone who has never bothered to touch Inferno would go, oh, crap, now I got to play Inferno. But at the same time, it is a element of Destiny that has existed in this game.
Oh, yeah.
It is
not a new feature. It's reserved for people that are like either top tier players or extremely experienced Crucible players. I think a lot of us forget that Destiny is a game for everybody, and it can be picked up by people of all kind of, you know, they might not have been playing since year one. They might not know what Inferno is. They might just play 6v6s with their friends. And then, you know, there's still a whole bunch of people testing Trials out for the first time. So when that kind of mechanic bleeds over into Trials, which is universally a lot more popular and a lot more played than, say, something like Inferno. And we haven't had much Inferno in rotation on the playlists recently, have we? We've had Combined Arms back. So it's been something that's kind of missing. You know, but I'm not saying that it's like, you know, it's like an excuse. I'm just looking at the complaints and thinking, okay, this is a legitimate reason. For someone that's played a lot of FPS and not just tried to go down the top tier Destiny PvP player route, I've played a whole bunch of stuff. And then the other spotlight is on 30 FPS. That, like, when you're in a reactionary environment and you play a lot of 60 frames a second games, you can see and you can react a lot faster. With 30 frames a second, you're in a bit more of a foggy, muddy, kind of less fluid territory. So I think that's why the radar exists in Destiny, not because it was a universal method or a technique to enhance gameplay. I think it was put in there as a failsafe for elements that weren't so strong, like a very antiquated frame rate, narrow fields of view. And narrow fields of view in games always are spawned from the fact that the developers are prioritizing graphics over gameplay, which makes a lot of sense from a corporate view, because if graphics are in question, your game might have a bit of a bad time. However, if it's a gameplay tactic that's in question, that's a little bit different. So I understand the complaints, and I think they are legitimate, and they did shine a spotlight on the things that do need a bit of work, like audio cues do need to be a bit more crisp, but I think it would be a great thing. It would enhance the game mode.
I think you both make pretty good points. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, I understand the frustrations too. It's, you know, you're making Trials noticeably challenging in one specific regard, and, you know, we want Destiny to be a game playable for everybody. At the same time, I feel like I've heard many times in the community when people are upset that they feel like things aren't challenging enough. Like, when remember when PvE challenge mode came out and there were so many people saying, like, oh my gosh, like, this is supposed to be, I thought this was going to be a real challenge. All we had to do was just change our tactic a little bit, and it's not even that hard now. And then you do the challenge mode becomes the new way to do the raid. So I think, you know, criticisms aside, I really enjoyed it. And I think it was an interesting twist. Yeah, I think it was an interesting twist. I say give it a shot if you haven't already. Hey, you might enjoy it. And
yeah,
if you don't enjoy it,
I'd rather they did the spontaneous stuff and put it in than not, and like stick to the same old formula. Yeah. But like, having criticism about it is a good thing. You know, like,
it's fair.
I see a
it's
lot
fair.
Of a lot
it's
of Twitter arguments and stuff and salts flowing around the place. Like, if Bungie gets some criticism from someone, it's viewed as hate, and it's like, no, hate is.
Read a few more criticisms. I am seeing a lot of criticism being viewed as hate.
And I've seen some pretty intelligent people do this as well.
But story, when there's enough of that gross hate, it doesn't matter if a few people are being kind of, you know, half clever or clear and concise and not angry. There is a problem with how aggressive people have reacted to some things.
Sure. Oh, of course.
But there is a difference between, I can see and look at a comment, okay, is that just abject hate? or is there any criticism in that at all? It's like a very easy thing for if me you're to bringing differentiate.
And how smart is our criticism? I mean, I think a lot of tweets just come off as just like, well, good weekend to never play Destiny again. Yeah. And it's just like, is that a criticism?
That's,
or are you just being lazy?
That's just a reaction.
That's 99% of what we saw all weekend. Was,
for those in the community who actually came forward with, you know, maybe this is why it might not be that fun of an idea. Like, like story, how just he just laid it out 2 minutes ago. That was well articulated story.
Yeah, but we needed 10 minutes on a podcast to do it. Not that's 140 true. Characters.
Okay. Fair.
And
that's fair.
There's certainly valid criticism there, and of course, this stems from the big difference in between, say, the Inferno game mode and normal Crucible, the radar. Destiny's radar is so good, and I do believe that's for some of the reasons that Story mentioned earlier, certainly 30 FPS being one of them. But people really don't realize how much they rely on the radar until they go into the Inferno playlist. Yeah. And that's why I absolutely agree with Bones. Anytime it's up, you might hate it, but spend a couple of matches in the Inferno playlist. It'll teach you to pay more attention to your surroundings, to learn flanking routes, because you can't sit there and rely on a radar that shows you enemies through walls a very long distance away. And I think that might be the stem of where a lot of people's criticisms for Trials this week come from. Taking away that much of a benefit from players on something as high level as Trials, I could see the rage coming a mile away.
Yeah.
And certainly some of those criticisms are valid.
Yeah.
But this is 1 week of Trials. Yeah. It wasn't really, it's
I'll
not
be
something
really,
to get that
really
mad
interested
about.
To see how Trials plays next weekend and if everyone goes like, oh man, it's slower now. Because you know, it does slow the game down. And
people can see me from so far away.
I've actually seen some really good criticisms about changing the radar a bit as well. I think Wishy Luck had a really good one. Whereas
I think they should.
The radar was only effective in the direction in which you're facing. Behind you, radar doesn't work. So if you're going to see basically what you see now, you'd have to turn around. So flanking routes and getting behind someone has a huge benefit. I thought that was a really interesting
That almost borderline defeats the purpose of radar, doesn't it? Like, yes, I know
50%.
Exact details of people who are in front of me.
But I mean, by 50%, it would
reduce. Yeah, it's true. I mean, people could be around walls and corners and stuff, and that would help. But that would actually be a really interesting change. I wonder how that would play out.
I'd love to see a game mode where they test out ping-based radar, you know, like most other first-person shooters are, where you can see things when people are using abilities or shooting.
Yes.
I think that would probably work a little bit better, because right now it's just, it's really good.
Yeah, man.
It's so good that when you don't have it, it really throws you off.
Is that an integral part of Destiny PvP? And if you took it away, are we going to be missing out on something here that is actually like a limb? It's like an actual limb of the game that it really does add to the environment? If we took the radar out, or if it was changed from what it is now, is the game going to be missing something that isn't actually integral to Destiny's character?
Well, we could speculate, but I mean, the truth of every matter is we wouldn't really know until we got our hands right in that dough.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, a few things that worked in Trials.
Yep.
We should maybe talk about the good parts of it.
No.
I thought it was all good.
No.
But,
this is the Salt Cast.
This is one thing about flanks, which is really tough when there is radar, when they pick up on you. And this is why I sniped for so long and still take out my sniper, is you can get a beautiful flank on a team that's not looking at you. Yeah. But unless you're right behind them and they still haven't noticed you at all, it's going to be really hard for you to make a huge impact on that team. You're going to get one, or he's going to feel you shooting him, or you're going to miss your snipe and they're going to hear you.
Yep.
So it was really satisfying to actually be able to have a smart play pay off. You know, it's like when the offense on a football team calls the perfect play and the wide receiver is just wide open and no one covered him. It's just like, oh yes, that fell right into our hands. And that same thing happened a lot. And it was really good practice for calling people's movements, or when you caught their flank and they thought they were going to sneak up on you behind you. I did use No Land Beyond a lot, because I realized I'd rather have my flank be an instant kill than a slow primary kill. And I even started telling my teammates not to shoot people with primary if they were sneaking up on them.
That's what we were
doing,
yeah.
What happens is you get that nice palindrome headshot, and that Night Stalker, Shade steps away and runs shotguns and says, you. "They're over here! They're over here!"
So in fact,
it was way better to chase them for a little while, even if they were moving and you weren't quite caught up to them and you didn't want to jump and spook them and stuff, to just see how close you could get and just blam them in the back. It made it a little exciting, and there was definitely some moments where I jumped, not from spiders, but from
that was
a warlock
so
around the corner,
funny.
And I was like, "Whoa!"
There was a time where it was just, I was dead, teammate was dead, Bones was alive. It was just a 1v1, and Bones is running around red lamp area. I'm giving my call out feed, and we knew he was in the area somewhere. And Bones is rotating with the wall to his back, and he's got his No Land Beyond. He's coming around looking at special ammo. And I just said to myself in my head, I was like, "You watch, he's going to be right on the red staircase." And he rotates around, Bones is looking left, and I was like, "He's right beside you! He's right beside you!" And he's like, "Ah!" He freaks out. And he ended up killing him. So good job.
I uploaded that clip to Twitter. It's actually visible now, but I let out an audible noise. I sounded like the Black Link for a second, where I was just like, "Legend!"
Well, no matter how you feel about Trials this weekend,
The good news is, quote unquote,
I thought it was fun.
Some people were
frustrated, but if you feel like it wasn't exactly your cup of tea, then don't worry about it, because it's not going to be around forever.
The thing for me
is
I saw some people that I respect a lot, and they are way better players than me. There was quite a lot of feedback from them, and it's like, okay, what's the point there? That if someone that, you know, I've been watching for a long time has some criticism on something, then of course I've got to give that some time. You know,
sure.
But my own experiences were that, I mean, maybe it was the people that I were playing with as well. Like, they were quite calm, and they enjoyed it as well. So, like, all in all, I liked it. And I support spontaneous changes like that.
Agreed.
I mean, you know.
It's neat, yeah.
Definitely just agreed.
Seasonal thing, not something that would be too frequent, I think, because, you know, largely speaking, I would say the majority of the people that attempt trials, they don't go flawless. They don't have... you know, not necessarily what it takes, but they might not play enough PvP, but they just try to clear bounties and blah, blah, blah. So having consistency and routine with something as intense as Trials of Osiris, I think, is another key element there. But, like, for Halloween, sure, add something crazy in there.
What if Trials kind of rotated like Iron Banner? It'd be so much fun. It doesn't have to be drastic. It doesn't have to be no radar, no revives. But what if it was, like, just no revives this week, or just I don't know. There's plenty of stuff we can do. We've got private matches, but
well, people have been asking for modifiers for quite some time in Trials, like some kind of different modifiers. But I don't know. I think the people who want it mixed up, you all play very, very, very well. The people that don't play so well and they're really trying to get, you know, trying to get into the whole mode of Trials, they don't want change. Like, when I was a lot worse than I was now, I have improved over the last year. When Trials maps rotated, I'm like, "Oh, this is not good for an average player."
It.
You know, but top tier players loved it because it's variety. Whereas average players are
something
like, "Holy shit, this is like a whole bunch of stuff being thrown at me. This is too much." Because I think there's a lot of folk that try Trials aren't used to going up against players so good. The matchmaking denies you as an average player to go up against players that are really good. You have to be on your, because of the way that the matchmaking works, you have to be on your A game in order to be matched with extremely skilled players. Whereas in Trials, you will be matched with them if they're on the same wins. And if for an average player, they have no previous knowledge of what that's actually like. So they get absolutely flattened. It's the only place where you can have it. You can have that opportunity to go up against a beast.
Yeah. Welcome to Endgame PvP.
Yeah, man.
It's a fun place.
There you go. Well, enough about Trials. We could talk about Trials all night. This ain't the Trials podcast.
Join me after hours, where we will spend another 2 hours right here talking about Trials. Just me and my room.
I want Sparrow Racing League Trials. We're
Call
doing events.
Skype.
Why not go all out with it?
Lordy Lord. I don't know what that is.
I've opened Pandora's box. Bring it, Bungie. Yeah.
Well, shall we really quickly talk about shotguns?
No.
Shall we do that?
We never do that.
Shotguns, though. Everyone's favorite toys.
Here's a fresh topic
back
for the
community. Back to the afterlife, Bones.
don't want people to get mad at that cover up. Talking about trials and shotguns, and I'm yelling at him on Twitter.
Head on to the Mushroom Kingdom.
I'm hiding.
He's in hiding mode. Yep. Okay, so for those of you who joined us last week, we had a very quick discussion about matadors, and I chimed in saying that I didn't really enjoy using full auto on my shotguns, just me personally, because full auto affects how your shotgun pellets spread out. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I got a couple comments on that from some folks who were a little misinformed about how the pellet spread on shotties work. I have heard a couple, I think there was a video going around, I'm not going to dig deep and name any names, but I think someone had mentioned that they thought that full auto was like the new shot package, and I think they had misread the Rise of Iron weapon patch notes. So what I did was I went out and made a video on my YouTube channel showing how full auto pellet spread on your shotgun affects the effective one-hit kill range. I should say the frequent one-hit kill range. And holy crap, did that stir the pot a little bit.
Stirred the kettle.
Mm-hmm. Lot of back and forth people talking with me about that video. But I just want to, let me explain for anyone who hasn't seen it very quickly what went on. So as we know, full auto, or if you don't know, full auto increases the pellet spread on your shotgun a little bit. And recently, with the Rise of Iron patch notes, Bungie said that they had reduced the spread penalty. Reduced.
Not as removed.
Not removed. They reduced the spread penalty, but that the spread penalty is still there, I assure you. And basically what I took two identical matadors, and I stood very, very far away in a private game, and I kept moving closer to a test subject of mine. And the goal was for me to get 2 one-hit kills in a row. Or 2 out of 3, that's what it was. Because you know how pellet spread RNG works. If you shoot a shotgun 3 times, the pellet spread isn't going to be the same pattern each time. So what I didn't want to happen was I didn't want to get a one-hit kill and be like, oh, here's the range right here, because it could have been just a lucky pellet spread, you know? Mm-hmm. So we go for 2 out of 3. And I kept moving closer until I hit that 2 out of 3 point. And then I looked at the distance side by side. That's how it went down. And a lot of people didn't understand that. They thought that, like, oh, this is the furthest range that you can kill with a full auto shotgun. And it's like, no, that's not it. That's, you can kill farther with a full auto shotgun. I wasn't trying to say that here's the only point that you can get a kill from. Any further than back, you're effed. You know what I mean? It's like, it's how frequently it's going to happen. So yes, if you have full auto on your shotgun and you enjoy using it, use it. Yeah. It's not a bad perk, I would say. It's not my cup of tea, but
and
you
they
can still
are popular. Like, if people are aware now. Like the sweaty players that I watch, like the guys that I'm always trying to learn from, they were there was a bunch of them that are huge fans of the full auto.
Some of them
Matador.
Really like full auto, and some of them that I've spoken to don't like it at all.
So, but it has it's because a full auto Matador has a purpose, and if you're literally getting right in people's faces, and like either the first shot doesn't register or it does half amount of damage because of pellet randomization or whatever, or maybe they're a max armor titan and you've left them with the sliver, you can literally follow up a shot immediately and get the kill. I think that's
the follow-up
reason
shot
why,
is the follow-up shot is key if you have the full auto. Because sometimes because sometimes you try to get that one hit kill from deep and you don't get it. Sometimes it just doesn't happen. And if you have full auto, you get that security blanket, which is nice about full auto. Yeah. But the thing that full auto where it falls a little bit short is if your goal is to be on point and getting those really far away.
If you want to snipe
with that Matador, baby, you want to get that one hit kill. You are going to get those kills more frequently if you are not using full auto. That is the key term, frequently. It is still very much possible.
A full auto Matador, if you're trying to snipe with it, it's the wrong tool for the job. But if you're the kind of player that gets in really close anyway, or if maybe it's map specific, like a map like Anomaly, if you're literally fighting the good fight in the centric areas of the map, then a full auto Matador might be a better bet. It's like, sure. It has its place, but I think there was a lot of confusion, as Fallout mentioned before, that a Fallout on Matador was capable of sniping, whereas after some testing, it's really not that kind of shotgun. It's not that kind of girl, you know?
It's not shot package.
It's not shot package. And I got tweets, again, because some people, I had tweeted out the side-by-side picture, which is a nice visual to have, but you really needed to watch my video and listen to what I was saying about the picture. Otherwise, you're not really going to put it into the right context. And somebody had tweeted me. They were like, I got a kill from this far out with the Matador, and it had full auto. Explain. And I was like, again, I'm not saying that it can't kill from that far. It can, but you have
checkmate
to be
really... Fallout.
Checkmate. The player that you shot had a terminal liver disease. He was already...
He was already dead. It can happen, but you just have to remember, with full auto on your shotgun, your pellet spread is going to be a little bit wider. And you can get moments where the pellet spread, the planets will align, because again, every time you shoot your shotgun, the pellet spread is going to be a little bit different. You can get a great pellet spread, and you can map somebody with full auto because you had that good pellet spread. But again, because full auto naturally makes it a little bit wider, it's not going to happen as frequently as you would hope, is if you had a non-full auto max range shotgun.
There was one person that was tweeting me about it and said that doesn't a full auto Matador only have those negative effects to the spread after the first shot? I thought, well, that's an interesting, because I've got a full auto Matador, I think, but it hasn't got max range or max impact, so I've never really bothered using it. Was there any difference with that, or was literally to every single shot?
I was reloading. I didn't notice any difference. I can go back in. I love testing. You know me, man. I love the testing.
Well, exactly. Imagine if full auto, the negative element of full auto didn't actually proc until after the first shot. Then you know that if you want to try and snipe someone with a full auto Matador,
difficult. The most difficult things in this game that I test are all tied to RNG. Yeah. Now, practically, how would you test if it only happens, you know, after the first shot, whatever? Because if you're shooting just the first shot to try and examine the pellet spread and be like, it's so difficult to examine the pellet spread because of pellet spread RNG. It's almost impossible. Like, you're going to be shooting all day, and even then the results won't be really conclusive, because how do you know if you're witnessing a difference in the perk, or if you're simply witnessing a difference in the regular pellet spread RNG? It's hard to know.
I mean, what would be better is if Bungie actually put in the description, this will only affect the first shot. Save a lot of our sake.
You're asking for too damn much, Story.
Yeah. Way too much.
I'm a demanding individual.
Way too much. No, we can't have that.
But yeah, but that was my little spiel on shotguns. So yeah, even though it was kind of a heated experience talking with some people about it,
big takeaway Fallout is that I gotta commend you, and I have to commend everyone else that does testing. I like to refer to them as crucible scientists, and then there's PvE scientists as well out there, seeing which gun does 0.3 more damage to stuff like that. Test and record it and put it online and prove it, and we will move forward in our knowledge of this game so much faster than we would making guesses at stuff, or just saying how we, this happened to me today.
You see this workstation right here, Bones? There's no speculation in this laboratory.
No speculation. Because what happens is we have discourse. Even with the confusion of, the wording, are just like, is this not blah, blah, blah? Does this, I shouldn't use my full auto? After we got through that, we ended the day knowing more and having a better understanding about everyone's opinions on a gun, the simple facts about the gun, and which one we can choose to use based on our playstyle. And that is awesome. And it's we got so much more done that day when you did that than we ever do spending like a month just tweeting about what we think is good, or even a post on Reddit or something like that. So if you have a theory, anyone can do this, because we got private matches and the world has changed. Mm-hmm. Go record it.
Go
15 seconds, upload it to Twitter. Do it more than once, you know, all that rules of science and all that. And we'll come to a conclusion faster than we ever could just guessing.
Exactly.
And if you're ever in doubt about anything, like which weapon should I use in this environment, if there's anything that casts any shadow of doubt, just remember the Guardian's mantra, and that is, when in doubt, use G-Horn.
Always.
Wherever possible.
I can't argue with that. No.
That's the end-all, be-all answer.
It's helped me in many situations.
I'm going to start replying to that. Sorry,
I can't handle these like intense intellectual Destiny conversations when Story is a Viking woman and Fallout is a banana and Black Link is Mario.
excuse me, the Black Mario today.
And you're E.T.
Yeah, damn right. Put bones in a front basket on a bike and ride over and the moon.
I love how he's technically had three different outfits. He's a ghost, he's E.T.
Wait, hold on. All right, so we've got Ghost, which is full cover.
We've got
the Eris Morn.
You got Eris Morn, yeah.
I don't know. That's looking a little bit too religious, I think.
We got the Mummy.
Yeah, okay.
Cool Guy.
Let's not go too far on that last one.
I wanted to get more than three, but there's just three. You're right.
The most versatile costume.
And a nun.
Good time. Yeah. Good time talking about shotguns. That was enjoyable. Yeah.
The more you know.
Yes.
The more you know. Da da da. Little shooting star across the bottom of the screen. Somebody please edit that into the YouTube video. He won't do it, but.
Do it, Ryan.
But we can hope.
Do it.
All right, moving on. What the hell else do we have to talk about?
Some fun stuff now. The super fun stuff coming.
Yeah.
Fun stuff. Okay, here we go. This week, I don't know if you were paying attention on Twitter. If for those of you who are on Twitter, I thought it would be fun to tweet out a little thing I've been doing lately, which I've been calling tentatively Whose Line Is It Destiny? I'm not sure if anyone out there is aware of Whose Line Is It anyway. I'm pretty sure a lot of people are because it's really...
We're showing our age.
Freaking funny. Yeah. It's a damn funny improv show. And I tweeted out a Whose Line kind of scenario with a Destiny theme. And I said that I would record every answer that you guys tweeted back at me, and I would read my favorite ones on the stream for my three friends here, usually four, to enjoy and react to. So I got a list right here.
Us his friends.
God. Damn it, you gotta make it weird.
Replies. I like scanned over them. We had some pretty decent replies from some very clever, witty people that would be very good as Whose Line Is It Anyway improvisationalist.
For sure. So for those who missed it, the question or the scenario was, Sparrow Racing League will return this winter, but to make it more crazy, we've added blank. And I asked everyone to fill in those blanks with whatever they envisioned. Guys, ready for me to read off some of the good ones here? I got about 15
Bring
of these
on.
Bad boys.
Wasn't the first one drink driving?
Drink driving. God. Here's the first one.
Yeah.
To make SRL more crazy, we've added Solar Burn Active and Cabal Everywhere. From Oliver Dalrant.
Thank you, Oliver. Please step away from Bungie, within earshot of Bungie. In fact, mute yourself forever. Thank you very much.
RIP.
To make it more crazy, we've added Kicking from Road Rash. Does anyone remember that game?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's awesome, dude. I would love to just start kicking people next to me on the track. Thank you for that one, Joey R. To make it more crazy, we've added Hobgoblins and the Grounded modifier to every track.
Oh, no.
No.
That's like the heart of half of Sparrow Racing League doing tricks. Oh, jeez.
That was Lucas. Thank you for that one. To make it more crazy, we've added Sparrows mounted with Gallarhorns.
Yes.
Hey,
you mentioned
I will take that one.
Yeah. Officially endorsed.
Maybe if you only had like one rocket per each race, and you could like save it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
This is getting
dangerously
close to Mario Kart.
It appears I'm in last place. I've got something for that. James Bond, cue the James Bond like finger on the button kind of thing.
Yeah. Like an oil just like comes out. Like
goes after the lead Sparrow. Yeah. Oh no!
And then the next. Like camera view is the Guardian sipping on a big bottle of champagne, holding some flowery wreaths on the number one platform.
That's the new windscreen. Yeah, that's for the person who gets in first place.
All right. To make it more crazy, we've added spiky blue shells from Mario Kart.
There should be items. I do want to get item boxes.
Yeah, right?
Throw shells.
I want a banana peel. As big as this throw on the track.
You know what? I'm leaving the headset off. I don't need to hear any more of this. This heresy.
He's done. A lot of people suggested that one, by the way. Harrison was the first. Okay, we got a couple more. To make it more crazy, we've added many more annoying ass horns that people will spam throughout the race.
I hated that horn so much.
That was from Alex. To make it more crazy, we've added ugly Christmas sweater chest pieces.
That's amazing.
In the game.
Two thumbs up. I'd give that one two thumbs up.
Isn't that great?
Oh, man. Put it in a box and give it RNG, and I'll spend all my money until I get it.
It's got a little lit up sparrow thing, like, going across.
Someone from Bungie's watching this going, yeah.
I want my ugly Christmas chest pieces. Damn it. Thank you, Tony, for that one. To make it crazy, we've added doors.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's it. Just doors.
That's not funny.
Crazy is definitely what it would add.
I mean, it theoretically shouldn't matter. You would just drive and the door would open, and, like, it could work.
Not if there's someone lagging, because, like, if they're hosting, that door ain't opening for you. It's opening for them, and they might be in
you're
last place, so you're waiting for that.
Again.
It's like being at the supermarket, and there's a dodgy automatic door, and it won't open, and you're like,
yep.
Hi. It's me. I want to get in and spend my money.
Even worse,
you know?
If it's the rotating doors.
I had that plenty last year.
Here's, in my opinion, here were the top three. One, because they made me laugh, either due to the visual or I just thought they were clever. To make them crazy, we've added a new hamster ball sparrow.
Hey.
Dude.
What are those, like, those gyro orbs? What are those called?
Oh, yeah, the ones that you get inside and kill yourself.
Yeah,
I've seen some horrible videos of people in Russia climbing in those things, and then they plummet off the edge of a cliff. It's like,
they're very dangerous.
You're not invincible inside those things, you know?
Reminds me of the people I've seen playing, like, soccer inside the gigantic inflatable bouncy balls. You can basically run at your friend and, like, body check them at full speed. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. To make Sparrow League more crazy, we've added a nerf to fusion rifles.
Highly necessary. Yes, that's a great addition.
I'm going back in my ghost house.
That's just a basic balance update then.
You can't have a Bungie update without a fusion rifle nerf.
No.
Okay.
It's not possible.
And that was from Puneet. And my favorite reply of all, Sparrow Racing League will return this winter, but to make it more crazy, we've added dismantle mines. Yes.
Oh, no.
You have to stop in the race to dismantle a mine.
Everyone just circling it. Right? No circle.
That was
my gosh.
Good. That was from Kyle Davidson. I love that any Destiny situation can be made 100 times worse with the addition of dismantle mines. Yes.
Just lap three of the race, all of a sudden you hear dismantle mines.
Touche, Kyle. Touché.
You got first. They did not.
Oh, no.
You are last.
Oh, man.
He better be one of the announcers on Sparrow Racing League this
year. That'd
be
awesome.
Oh, that better happen. I'd love to have more guest announcers.
Come on.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Well, thanks for everyone who replied to that tweet. I thought that was freaking hilarious.
Fallout, thanks for instigating that and cooking it up. I think that's a great thing. And
thank you very much. Yeah, it went over pretty well. Maybe we can do them in the future. Might not be every week, but every now and then, check it out. We'll throw it out on Twitter, and we'll read the funny ones
here.
I'm down for that being every week.
I'd come here just for that.
Just for that.
Just for that.
So we can wrap it up with a little questions, yeah?
Yes, Q&A time.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Okay, you guys keep an eye on that live Twitch chat, and I will check out the questions over here on Twitter.
I can't see either.
Every week, somebody asks pancakes or waffles. Every week, on Twitter. Did you know this?
Do not know the answer to that. Both have both at the same time.
You know what you can do?
Making it a debate.
One pancake on the bottom, and then a waffle, and then a pancake on top. Yeah. Pancake waffle gross. Sandwich. Don't be gross. This is America, all right? I will eat whatever I want for my goddamn breakfast.
You hear that story? This is America.
One of the best waffle slash pancake creations on a website entitled thisiswhyyourefat.com. And it had a beautiful display of waffles intertwined with pancakes and drizzled with maple syrup. And it looked absolutely fantastic.
That sounds like freedom.
God. That sounds like freedom. Wonderful. Okay, here we have a question from Weasel Dog Jr. Is changing the rules of trials something you'd like to see more often, so it's not just elimination with light levels?
We actually kind of hit on that a little bit earlier.
Only as a temporary change, like a flavor of the month kind of thing, not permanently.
Yeah, maybe like 1 week out of the month they do some special set of modifiers for trials.
I think the rounds of elimination should remain. I think it'd be so weird if it was suddenly skirmish. Yeah. I think it adds to the suspense and to the every play matters in trials. I love that every play matters. I love that it mattered more in weekends like this. So I think they should always keep that. That's trials at its core, but around the core. Yeah. Throw in changes. I would look forward to anything they've got cooking up.
Good call. All right, question from Jeffrey Kwa. Number one feature you would like to see the most in Destiny 2?
60 FPS.
Fallen.
I was going to say that,
class.
But is that a feature or is that like just
Bones? That's awesome. Fallen as a playable class.
Oh, I've been saying that for a long time. Dude, I want to be like a vandal.
You want to be Randall the Vandal.
Many Randalls, everyone would be named Randall.
I would love the idea of like, what are three Fallen subclasses? Maybe you'd have to be a captain. But it works just like Halo with the elites.
Yeah.
So it's not like this crazy thing, but I
like that.
It'd be so cool. And it would really, so much fun lore to play with the Queen's Fallen and Varric's. So like, ooh, are you from the House of Judgment or something like that? Like, why are you fighting alongside the Guardians? I think
that'd
be awesome.
Good answer.
Be cool.
Damn, I don't know how they'd get ghosts, but we'll figure it out.
The ghosts can pick them, I suppose, just like they can pick anything else.
Yeah.
If they can revive robots, they can revive
the Fallen used to have the Traveler, right? Like it left them.
They did.
So
they
it's not like the Traveler doesn't know how the Fallen work.
That's true.
As a matter of fact, the Traveler's probably going to wake up, say, "Oh, hey, look, the Fallen infuse," which might cause a problem.
I'd like to. Transmogrify would be a really nice feature.
Yeah.
Yes.
To more design your look as opposed to have it fall into your hands.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I want beards in Destiny 2.
There is a distinct lack of beards, isn't there?
Lord knows I'm not going to get a freaking beard any other way. So, that would be nice.
We miss you, Mega.
Poor one out for Mega.
We're looking a little
like a little too clean tonight, eh, boys? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Everybody's
all
shaved up.
It's for the ladies.
Here's an interesting question. I'm trying to figure out what this question means. I see lots of Destiny shirts, like t-shirts, IRL. Could the Planet Destiny crew come up with a signal to do so other IRL Guardians know that you like their Destiny apparel? That's an interesting... I mean, if I ever came across somebody in life... Actually, it happened one time. One time. I'm just going to tell them. I'm not going to give them some kind of like hand sign. Yeah, I was on my way to work, and I was transferring from one subway to another, and I was just waiting in line to get on the subway. Doors opened up, a bunch of people came out, and this dude was wearing a Future War Cult shirt, just like walking around on the subway. And I was like, dude, awesome shirt. And he looked at me and was like, damn right. And then that was it. That was it. Never saw each other again.
Yeah, but what we should do is be more of like a cult where we have to like give a special word up to the traveler hand signal. So when I'm in an airport where I see Destiny players and they recognize my T-shirt, I'm doing hand signals at the airport.
Is there a really iconic
the secret society
hand signal? In like, I'm trying to think of a low key emote that we could do. A lot of the emotes are pretty over the top.
You have to do the refer a friend handshake where you do the thing with the other guy.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
You have to do the whole thing in public.
I'm gonna
maybe bring out your ghost. Basically,
that's a good one. Bring out the ghost, because all you have to do is like this: hold out the ghost. That's it. That's the new signal.
There you go. So
it might look like you're just about to break into "I'm a little teapot, short and stout," though. That's the only other negative.
You see somebody, you make eye contact.
Is it about to rain?
Yeah.
Is it raining?
Might be raining. Raindrops? No. Do we got any?
Don't know where I am.
Someone's going to do that and look like a goddamn lunatic. Be like, what just happened?
I welcome it.
Do we Says the guy go, wearing a banana costume with a water bottle on his head.
That's an iron banana costume. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Get it right.
Clever.
Get it right. God.
It is.
Frost Diaz in the chat here asks, what is your favorite ghost shell? And I think that's perfect because there are so many cool ghosts in the game right now. It's overwhelming almost.
I like the new Trials one, man. There's something about that black and yellow with the zigzaggy stuff that gets my and the new the hard mode raid one, the amalgam shell,
that thing is cool.
That looks really nice, the red and
that's
black.
that's my favorite one, the red and black raid one. That one looks awesome. Or the chocolate
like
one.
The chocolate one was good looking.
My favorite ghost that I've been using for a while is the crimson shell.
Nice.
The glowy pink, it's gorgeous. But I just had both of the Archon's Forge shells drop, and I think that they are maybe my favorite looking design because they're subtle. They just got really interesting colors I like, and little bits of chrome on them. I just think they're cool. So I think I might end up using that one in the long run. Right now I'm just cycling between the devil ghost and in the cool Iron Banner, or the booklet one that's all metallic and stuff, but there's a lot of cool designs.
Okay, the Archon's Forge one is the questing shell, I want to say, right?
That's one of them.
Like one of those, like the dark blue and like the chrome. Yeah, it's super good.
There's another one beginning with a P.
I think there is another one.
Pursuer shell.
Pursuer.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. But I really love the hard mode raid shell. That thing is super cool. And it might be the one from the book, the Iron Wolf shell. Is that it? Where it's got like the gold inlaid wolf skull and all that. Oh, that thing is super cool. It is super cool. But I'll be the hipster here and say the Iron Song. That's it. But I'll be the hipster here and say the Frontier shell. Which, if you know what that was from, from like pre-ordering the game.
Oh, gee.
Like a long time ago. The old red and white shell. I like that one. Matches my hat.
Good call. I think we got time for one more question, don't you?
Yeah.
No, I have to go, sorry.
Damn it. All right, get out.
Rip.
See ya.
Sorry, he's phoned home. Cover yourself. Rides outside.
This is out there on the bike.
Here's a nice question. How are you guys enjoying being the new faces of Planet Destiny? Thanks for such a wonderful job. I love you. That question was clearly a plant. Someone paid this.
Bones is off camera. Look at
he's gone.
Checks in the mail.
Story. Link.
I think all of us
a great time.
Are really enjoying it. Like,
not Bones though. I'm just kidding.
It's a difficult job, however, because like all you guys are used to seeing familiar faces for the last year or so. And when all of those faces are all gone at once, I appreciate that that difference is quite a difficult thing to have to swallow. So for new faces to step in, a lot of the mixed feelings are kind of directed our way. So we have to kind of be the faces for a lot of, where'd everyone else go? Why the hell has everyone changed? Where is my, is it time for my medication? I need to change the channel. You know,
I don't mean to cut you off. Did Bones really walk away?
Yeah,
he did. He just
he is committed to the joke. God, I love it.
10 out of 10.
He literally dematerialized the ghost costume is on the chair. Look, it's rent
a ghost. He's truly a ghost now. But it's been fun. I mean, it's just great working with people who love the game as much as I do. I mean, we all love the game. We love the community. Love making content. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, it's a little difficult to deal with things when the content creators that you've become tied to go on to other things. But the good news is that we're all still in the community. We're all still doing great stuff. We're having fun.
We're still around.
You give more people a chance to come into the spotlight and share their unique perspective. Yeah. And it's just, I think it's great. I'm having a ton of fun doing it.
And all the old guys are still doing the same thing.
Of course,
it's like,
they're still
now
around.
You get two things instead of one. So quit giving a shit about it. You know?
There you go.
Damn right.
You get two for the price of nothing now, so... Yeah.
Hashtag deal with it.
Yeah, deal with it.
Deal with it.
But man.
Thanks so much for those of here. Yes. Thanks for those of you who are here watching us in the podcast live. For those of you who have shown the support, which we're seeing more and more of, like, every week. It's just fantastic. Yeah, it really makes me happy.
Yeah, man.
So,
BZ says,
it's been really
he feels
fun.
Sorry
it's
for me having to wake up so early to do the podcast. Mate, it doesn't matter what time I wake up now, because I'm completely on Planet Destiny time code, which is this. 2 hours sleep, 3 hours, 4 hours work, 2 hours sleep, 3 hours, 4 hours work, rinse and repeat. So now I have like 3 mornings in a day and 3 evenings in a day. So now, essentially, I've got more days than anybody else. So I'm on top of the world, really.
Story, you're the man. We love having you here. I know the time zone isn't easy to deal with. No. And hey, this week, damn it, you're no longer busy doing all that other crap.
No, that's right.
This week we are doing a Planet Destiny PvP stream. You tell us when it's going to happen. Hopefully,
how's about this, guys?
Why
are you here?
I
mean, we'll get Bones when he comes back. How's Wednesdays for you? It's
Wednesday sounds freaking awesome.
Good for me.
And
good for me.
The time-wise... You know, like the time that Iron Banner would go live, for example. How is that for people? Is that too early?
What time is that? Does it usually go live around
1
like,
p.m.
it's
Eastern?
It's my
8
o'clock,
me.
So if that's useless to you. You know?
Yeah. I'll have to see if I can. We'll talk offline. We'll see if we can make
something
work.
We'll
but
do
this
all
week,
the sorting out and stuff.
Gonna
offline,
make it
but
happen.
Like, this week for sure, and Wednesday would be definitely the best day for me because I've still got some editing to do from Saturday's job, and I've got to return some rentals and stuff tomorrow, and I also promised Ryan funny videos this week as well, so I've got to busy myself with funny videos, or at least to try. So,
you do a good job at that.
I'm trying. Yeah. I'm trying. They just take time. I'm probably the slowest video maker in the world.
Oh, excuse me, I would like to
guarantee you
introduce
you,
you to myself.
Hi, my name's the Black
Lingering
Link.
Song
doing,
video
buddy?
Was plus 30 hours.
Oh, my lord.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
Well,
and that was because I like to like ad-lib stuff and like look at it and I'm like, nah, there's a lot of like tasting things and if it doesn't taste very nice, then it goes in the bin, you know.
Yeah.
And the gameplay, I want good gameplay and like trying to get good gameplays. Like, that's for me, that's a struggle. You know?
Well,
if you've ever watched one of my reviews, I suck at gameplay, so I don't worry about that.
Your reviews are. I'm getting.
I just hope to distract them with the sound of my voice.
That's the
exactly.
Don't pay attention to the video because I'm terrible at PvP.
If you skip to the middle, you'll start hearing all these open the wallet. Take out the credit card. Donate.
Take out your
open
credit
your
card.
Sign into your PayPal. Warning. Donate to
put the credit
the Black
card
Link.
Directly into my pocket.
Yes.
Well, fellas, why don't we wrap it on up here? Black Link, where can we find you?
Hey, yo, my name's TBL, although today I am the Black Mario. But you can find me pretty much Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube all at the Black Link. I make Destiny content and whatnot, and I also produce content for the Planet Destiny YouTube, and I stream on the Planet Destiny Twitch page, right here on this Twitch page, actually. 3 days a week, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Tune in, we have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Last week, we did ourselves a retro raid on Thursday, had like 700 people in there watching
that.
Oh,
that's fun. That's
it was
great,
a good
man.
Time.
Good time.
Awesome. So tune in.
There you
I
go.
Love your faces.
Awesome. Bones, where can we find you? Well, hey guys, I'm Bones from Crucible Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at Bones_CR. Listen to Crucible Radio. And yeah, that's where you can find me. Awesome. Thank you.
That was an extremely good impression. Well, nearly. Of True Vanguard. Nearly.
Perfect.
It sounded almost like, exactly like TV.
I thought that was Bones. What do you mean?
Story, where can we find you, buddy?
Right now, I'm sitting behind my desk.
Where can we find you later?
Okay. In my bed. So you're very welcome to come along into my bed. And
send me the directions for that, and we'll make something happen.
PD after dark.
I live in Finland, so just head where it's extremely cold, and you'll be good. Now, you can find me on YouTube. I'm going to have to type it in, because it's... Actually, you can just click my business chat right there. You can see there my name is spelt with a 4 as an A in the machine. And you can find me on YouTube.
Right now.
Simple way of finding me, we go straight to Planet Destiny's YouTube, and on the right-hand column, there's a bunch of really talented folk. Just subscribe to everyone. Subscribe to everybody.
Everybody.
They're all amazing, and they're I'm wonderful. Amongst them, so if you subscribe to me as well, then that's great. It's jobs are good one.
And I'm Fallout. You can find me on youtube.com/falloutplays, and on Twitter, at @FalloutPlays. Or no, at Twitter, Fallout_plays. I always forget the underscore. Yeah, but man. I do videos and stuff on Destiny PvP content, in-depth guides and reviews and all stuff like that. So that's where you can find me.
Right on.
And I'm going to draw 26 FE on every banana that I come across today in a black marker.
Booyah.
You gotta do it.
As a homage.
It's literally
to the
iron banana.
Because is this costume being retired now for life?
I mean, I can't wear it anywhere else. What am I gonna do? Walk out around?
Why not?
What's
preventing you from wearing it everywhere?
Why the hell not?
And only that. Naked, just the banana
naked
costume.
Banana.
There we go. Yeah.
See how quickly I can get
all
the
I
cops
ask
called on me.
Is that, all I ask is that the next time Iron Banner is live, you do a stream. Wearing the Iron Banana.
Please.
Oh,
please.
You know what? That's going
to
happen.
Has to be done.
Every time Iron Banner happens, I'm bringing out the banana.
And then for charity, we can raffle the costume off for millions and millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars from the legendary Fallout players. People are like, who the frick is that guy?
Fallout particles on it.
What do you mean, who's that? He's the Iron Banana. That's who he is.
Fellas, I have good news. I think we're actually ending this podcast on time tonight.